Amen. The more we know the Lord, the more we'll be encouraged.
Yes.
But really, this is wonderful.
Amen.
To know the doctrine is not going to encourage you. But to know the truth in His Word, back up with experiences of Christ day by day,
Amen.
It's going to take you on all the way to the end.
Amen. Amen.
Just to know the objective truth, although it is good, is not adequate. It needs to be backed up by our daily experience of this rich Christ.
Yes.
The Spirit, the anointing, the speaking. And the reality in every situation. Because the situations are there to test us on one hand. And to give us the opportunity to apply Christ so that we can know the reality, the substance. So the whole Bible is a book of life, and it has something to do with our living.
Amen.
So without us and you and I, day by day, training ourselves to experience, because who is going to train you? Right. It is your daily life. Nobody can tell you in your daily life what to do. I'm not with you and you're not with me. So you can hear somebody giving a nice message. Wow, he's a wonderful guy, but when he's home, maybe he's a terror. You never know. Right? This is what happened to the Pharisees. They speak the right thing, but they don't do the right thing. They speak the right word, but do the wrong thing. So, after all this so-called training in the past years, I realized nobody can train you except the Holy Spirit indwelling in you.
Amen.
And you're being trained when nobody sees you. This is the real training. If you're only trained when somebody's there looking at you, then I'm afraid you might be like what the Lord told the Pharisees, a hypocrite, because you only behave when somebody sees you. And when nobody sees you, then you're a totally different person. So, it all boils down in the matter of faithfulness. It is when nobody sees you, when you're by yourself, and when you're in a situation, are you willing to apply what you have seen? I've been in the church life for so many years, really, and been there in a time when the church life was really at a peak. It was a wonderful time. But that peak didn't last very long. And I've seen so many people declaring, hallelujah, I'm for the church. And I believe at that time, yes, they have seen something. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there. You wouldn't give up quite a few things. But if you have not gone through trials and tests, you wouldn't know how real and how genuine, how deep it is. It's just like the Lord said, He's a sower of the seed. And in the certain type of ground that didn't have much depth of the soil, the Lord said, they receive the word with joy. But when the sun rises up, and everything begins to dry up because there is no depth. The seed and whatever grew withered away. So, without being tested, and we will be tested, because this is what Peter very clearly says in Peter chapter 1, the trial of your faith.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with whether you you're right, you're wrong, you're sinful, anything. No. No. Have you ever gone to school? Oh, all of you have gone to school. Without testing?
Lots of tests.
Lots of tests. Test upon test upon test. And you thought, I just did my test a semester ago. Well, that was last semester. Now it's second semester. So, the test never stops. Because your growth in life will never stop. The only time that the testing will stop is when you're in the grave. Then nobody's going to test you there anymore. Nobody's going to test you. But as long as you're living today on this earth, you will be constantly tested. From kindergarten all the way to university, and even after that, you'll be tested. And spiritually, the Lord will have to test us. And a church life is a very wonderful place to be tested. You think you're one? You think you're faithful? Then serve the saints together. Right.
Yes. That's true.
You think you are a very patient man, but you're single? Then go get married. After you got married, boy, you thought, my goodness, what happened to my patience? And then wait till you have the first child.
Yeah.
And have to wake up at midnight at 2 o'clock.
Right.
Thank you. And then after that you have a second child and a third. Oh Lord. Our life will always be challenged. Because maturity has no end, no graduation. You will never stop maturing. So, are we faithful? Maybe this week. What about next week? How long?
Lord.
After 5 years, maybe you change. Some people change for the better. Some people change for the worse. Right. And so, it is not just who started well, but it is also who ended well. So being faithful is a constant matter. Our faithfulness must grow and continuously grow. Because many situations is going to come to test us, to try us. Look at the Lord Jesus. He was called a faithful witness. Why is he called a faithful witness? Because he was faithful all the way to the end of death. Some are faithful halfway. Some give up. Some change. I've seen some change. Not just young people. Young people, of course, they change. But I've seen older saints. And then I've seen some people faithful to certain stage, and then they don't go on anymore. You're only faithful to that point, and that's it. Solomon was faithful up to a certain point, and at the end he was no longer faithful. So, it's not easy to be a faithful servant of the Lord, or a faithful priest. So, Paul, he was faithful to the end. All the apostles, a real apostle, you must be faithful to the end. And so faithfulness depends on what you see, because there's so much to see and so much to learn. Don't think what we have seen 20 years ago is good enough. No. even what we've seen maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
Because there's so much the Lord wants to show you. I'm so concerned. I don't want to see the saints get stuck at a certain stage of spiritual growth or experience of a church life, and then you don't go on anymore.
Oh, Lord.
Faithfulness means you are continuously one with the Lord concerning what He is doing right now, what He's showing to you. So it is not simple. We are constantly being challenged by the Lord, by what is before us, what is today, by the enemy. It's always a challenge. So, really, to be faithful, to stand till the trial is over. Some people just couldn't stand the trial. When I started to serve the Lord over 40 years ago, decided to absolutely give myself, that was in 1967, or 68, well, I don't know how many years ago this was. I thought, wow, so wonderful. Now we know the way. I thought at that time I know the way. And I really saw something, but the way kept on getting bigger and more complicated and more... And the way of the Lord will be challenged by the enemy. It's going to be challenged by religion. It's going to be challenged by the devil. Don't think it is easy. Look at the Lord. When He was on this earth, He was constantly being challenged by the enemy. Even when He was on the cross at the very end, and He was being challenged. If you were the Son of God, come down. We'll all believe in you. So He was constantly being challenged. So to be faithful sons of Zadok, this is why the Lord appreciates so much the word faithful witness.
Yes.
He was a faithful witness. That this is one of the Lord's names, is the faithfulness. And this is why this time when we are touching the matter of Ezekiel, the sons of Zadok, they just stand out among so many other features there in the book of Ezekiel. And you can really see how the Lord, how God Himself appreciated Zadok and his descendants. I'm glad it's not just Zadok, but it is the sons, plural, descendants. And this kind of life, the life of the faithful servant of the Lord, right, which is actually the Lord Himself, should be passed on to us.
Amen.
Faithful to Him. It's not so easy to find a faithful. It's not so easy. There are many believers today, and there are so many Christian groups today, but not too many are faithful. So this is one of the word that the Lord has to write in your heart. Be impressed with the word faithful. This is what the Lord needs today.
Amen.
So, I just start this word open it up to everybody. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, this session is for asking, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Feel free, or you can feel free to share anything.
Amen.
Well, since you don't have anything to ask yet while you're thinking. The word faithfulness in the Bible, whether Old or New Testament, is a very exclusive word referring to man's faithfulness toward God. Toward God. Not toward man. No man is worthy of our being faithful to. Yes, you may. I mean, you may be faithful to an ideology. You may be faithful to a certain hero, what you consider as hero. But in the Bible, faithfulness referred to our being absolute for the living God. And this kind of faithfulness is not seen, not done in an outward way for man to be seen. Because it is an opposite direction. Paul says, a Jew is one that is inwardly, not outward, whose praise is not from men, but from God. And you can see, when the Lord came to this earth, the whole religious world, and he's not talking about unbelievers, he's talking about the religious world, the Jews, Judaism. And especially the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, they are seeking to please men and to gain praises from men. They're not for God. They're not for God. Outwardly, it seems that they are for God, but they are not for God. So, to be faithful is our inward, not just an attitude, a determination, I want to be well pleased to the Father. To be well pleasing to God. Because He is our Creator. And then He is our Savior. And He is our Father. And today we are for His purpose. And for His kingdom. And for His glory. Everything is for Him and not for man. So, if in our heart we are for ourselves, even just a little bit, you can see that that little bit is going to grow in you. It's going to grow. It's hard to believe that the entire Judaism at that time was not for God. Or you can say the Romans are not for God. Or the Gentile world are not for God. But the entire Jewish nation, I think, and the entire clergy, from the chief priests to the priests to the elders to the Pharisees to the scribes and all the way, they're not for God. Hard to believe. I don't know. Maybe you have not given thought. Now you think we are better than they today? Are we better? Look at how many Christian groups there are, countless. And numerically, we, the Christians, far exceeded the nations of Israel in the Old Testament days, and yes, even among the Jews today. Where are the faithful ones? If we are faithful, how come each one is doing his own thing? Why are there so many directions? Which one is right? And which one is really of God? You see, all kinds of things that prove that we, as God's people, we are not faithful. We like to witness, but we are not faithful witness. We like to witness what we like to witness. Do what we like to do. We have our own concept. We have our own ways. Yes, I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve Him my way.
Yeah.
I want to serve in a way that suits me. And you all have to listen to me. Now, is that a faithful sons of Zadok? I don't think so. So our faithfulness is toward the living God. Why did the churches become like this? Because they, at the end, got fully exposed. They are not faithful to the Lord, but faithful to man. Mm. And they're afraid of man. And they will keep their position. And they look at everybody, and nobody's taking a stand, so I better shut up. Keep my mouth shut and say nothing. So at the end, what happened? Who is faithful to the Lord? It's all a matter of faithfulness. I think many brothers and many saints knew what was going on, but they're afraid. You know, it takes courage to be faithful to the Lord. And it takes a very clear discernment and a living relationship with Him. They're all together here. Look at the prophets in the Old Testament days. Many of them lost their lives because they are faithful to speak what the Lord wants to speak. Amen. And the false prophets speak what people like to hear. Mm-hmm. But that kind of speaking never helped anybody. Or brought judgment. So no prophet in the Old Testament days are very popular. None of them are popular. But if you are a faithful prophet, a faithful man, then it's not simple. It takes you closeness to the Lord.
Amen. Takes
your relationship, your love for Him, and it takes boldness to stand. It is something living.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
If the Lord could find a faithful group of saints there to serve Him according to His way, then if you are a faithful person, is really wonderful, because the Lord will entrust you with the secrets of His heart. If you're not faithful, the Lord is not going to show you anything. You can do a lot of things. You can read a lot of books. You can get a lot of knowledge, but so what? But the things of the Lord that is from His heart, He will not entrust them to you. Because you're not a faithful person. Nobody's going to trust anything to a person who is not faithful. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, make us faithful.
Amen.
Yes,
O
Lord.
Amen.
Yes, O Lord. Yes. Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord Jesus.
We read Hebrews 10:19-20.
Therefore, brethren,
having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful.
Amen. Amen.
Full assurance of faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Amen.
I have one question.
Yes.
How do you preach the gospel to a person who likes to go out, get drunk, or smoke?
Preach the gospel. In principle, there are so many kinds of people that need the gospel. And there is no one particular way to preach the gospel. If you read the New Testament, you don't see any particular method. But you can see the Lord when He preached the gospel to different people at that point in time when He met certain person like the Samaritan woman. At that point in time, the Lord will give you the proper way and the proper word to speak. We don't have a system. To gamblers, this is the way you speak. To a fornicator, this is the way you speak. To a professional, this is the way you speak. And to student, this is the way you preach the gospel. We don't systematize the way. But if we pray and learn to live by the Lord in our daily life, and pray, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me. And let the anointing teach me and help me to know what to say to people that you brought to me. Then you will experience at that moment in time the speaking spirit in you. Right. Just like Philip, when he was sent to the wilderness and there was an eunuch with a high position. Right. What is he going to say? What book, what verse, what gospel is he going to share? No, he just went, entered into the chariot, and lo and behold, that man was reading Isaiah, yeah. Chapter 53. Right? And so, when the situation was there, and you can really see, the Lord will give you the word.
Amen.
So Philip just preach the gospel by asking a question. Do you know what you're reading? A very simple way of asking. He didn't say, hey, did you know what happened in Jerusalem? Have you ever heard of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or did you know this? But he says, do you know what you're reading? He started a conversation. And this man was so open, how can I understand if nobody tells me? And immediately the door was open, the heart was open. So many times you may not know what to expect. I was talking to a lawyer friend one time. And I didn't know, never met this person. Somebody brought him to my home. While I was in South San Francisco. And because he was a lawyer, so I said, oh, you're a lawyer. He said, yeah. What kind of lawyer? I said, you must have encountered a lot of problem, fraud, and all these terrible things, right? That's why we need lawyers, because there's a lot of problem with the law. Yeah. So I said, do you know why? Because the Bible says we are all sinners. Mm-hmm. So you lawyers are going to have a good job all the time, isn't that? And so then I began to share. Just open up the word. So for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yeah. I said, including lawyers. I said, including and many lawyers are there to help the sinners to justify them. So you twist the law instead of applying the law properly. You say, yeah, you're right. To make the long story short, that night, that person went home, couldn't sleep, called up the friend who brought him to my home. I can't sleep. Why? Because for the first time in my life I realize I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I need salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So there's no particular way. No, I cannot systematize. Okay, that's the way to speak to lawyers. No, that's not going to work to everybody, right? But, you know, you cannot systematize that. But given the right situation at the right time, if we are connected to the Lord and we learn to live by Christ and pray for this person while you're speaking to him, the Lord will give you the proper word to speak. And that should be the experience of many of us right here in the church life. Just like the Lord told his disciples, when you are brought before kings, don't worry what you're going to speak, because the Spirit of your Father,
amen,
you, will give you the words to speak.
Amen.
So you can see the apostles, whether it be Paul, Barnabas, Apollos, in the book of Acts, wherever they went to, the words just came out of them. So pray to the Lord. Lord, how can I save this man?
Yeah.
And of course, when he's drunk, it's hard to preach the gospel. Wait until he's sober. Right? Yeah. Right, you wait until he's sober. But you pray for him. But, you know, what is very precious in your heart is the desire to preach the gospel to everybody.
Amen.
And this is very precious. So, you may not even know what to say, but if your heart feels for this person, the Spirit can move. Who was it? I think it was George Whitefield, if I'm not mistaken. When he was younger, he was living in a town of miners. I believe it was George Whitefield. And he had such a burden for these people who were rough, who were drunkards. You know, they were miners. Wow. Rough people. After work, they all drank and had a good time. And so the tradition is just coming to the Sunday meeting, right? They all come there. And this man, young man, had such a burden for them, and he asked the pastor, may I say something to these people? Because he really had such a burden for them. And the pastor says, yes, please, you know, use the mic and ask him to speak something. He is not a speaker, so he couldn't say anything, but tears began to run down his eyes. And pretty soon they all repented. They all were touched by the Lord. And there was a big revival in that town. Just because this man just wept before everybody. He didn't know what to say. So, but he was so burdened for those people. He shed tears. So is that a way to preach the gospel to minors? I don't know, but it worked. It worked. But if I go and try to weep, but my heart is there for them, I can weep and weep and weep and nobody will be saved. So it's not the method. It is the person. It is the heart. And so today in the church life, today in our Christian life, it should be the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to know the living Christ. At the end of this age, I assure you, it's no longer the doctrines or teachings, but it is the reality of Christ day by day in our daily life. That is going to bring us on to the goal. Of course, we need a word. We need a fellowship. We need a church life. But without that living relationship with Him, each one of us will have such a living relationship with the Lord. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So, amen. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh,
yeah.
I have a question. Just recently I met in my friend's house one of the brother is Christian. And he just questioned me, what about 80 years ago? Our grandparents they didn't have a Bibles. And I don't know, here in America, maybe they do have Bibles, but I'm from Soviet Union. And he said, all Christians was coming and pray and receiving word from God. And but they didn't have a Bible. So my question is, anybody can answer how they learn from God what to do and how they know about New Testimony, New Testament?
Yes. Actually, it is very simple. They don't have the written Bible, but they have the living God. You see, and this is what our brothers shared is very important, this question. That doesn't mean that we don't need a Bible, no. But in a situation like in the Soviet Union at that time, and even in China, during the time of communism, it was very hard to find a Bible. But we are dealing with a living God. So, if there is no more Bible, all the books were burned, confiscated, you're not allowed to get one, you cannot stop the living God with the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Not only the Soviet Union, they didn't have the Bible. During the time of Paul in the book of Acts, yes, the Jews have the scriptures in the Old Testament scriptures, but they didn't have the New Testament yet. So, how do they have fellowship? They have fellowship because the Holy Spirit was poured upon them. And the Holy Spirit gave them gifts inwardly, and they speak by the Holy Spirit, and they knew the Lord through the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Now let me ask you, what would you prefer, to have this book but don't know the Holy Spirit and you have a lot of knowledge and doctrines, or you prefer not to have this book? By choice, no choice, don't have this book, but you're forced to turn to the Lord and turn to the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit speak to you. Right. So you can really see, we need to know the living God. The living God indwelling us is, in a sense, more important than the written. But it doesn't mean we don't need the Bible. But if you just have the Bible and you don't know the indwelling Christ and you don't live by the indwelling Christ, then it will be fulfilled what this morning our brother was reading, the letter what?
Kills.
Because it's just black and white. It's just black and white. So, today, what is normal for us is, on one hand, we have the living Word. But more important, we have the living Spirit within us. So, when I have the living Word, and I touch the living Word by the leading of the anointing and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, who the Lord has promised that He will lead us into all truth, then just this word alone is not going to help you. Then we'll be fighting each other with the Bible and arguing who is right, and he thinks his interpretation is right, and we'll be fighting. And this is what happens. Because the word without the Spirit is dead. So, we need the living Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit within us. Then this word becomes alive.
Amen.
This word becomes alive.
Yes.
Then there is a reaction when I read the Bible. the Spirit reacts in me and enlightens me. Then I can see, wow, oh, amen, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Then there is an interaction between me and the Lord through the living Word. That's why we not only read the Bible, we read in a way of praying.
Yes.
Because praying brings me into the Spirit. And when I'm reading the Word by the Spirit, then the Word becomes alive. And this is God's wisdom. Otherwise, you don't. If you just have the book, then you don't need God anymore. You don't need God if you just read the Bible, and you don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't need God. But since we are spirit, soul, and body, and we have a mind, so just to have a spirit without the Word, something is lacking. Sometimes we have some strange thoughts. We thought we knew, but we were wrong. We have still a fallen soul there. So we need a confirmation of the Word. So this is God's way and God's wisdom. But at that time, because Satan knows that this Word is very important, so took it away, but he cannot take the Spirit away from you.
No, the question was, like he said, I don't need Bible. He said, this doesn't mean I don't completely don't need, but he said...
It's not important to read it every day, for me, he said, because, you know, back in the day, people couldn't even afford printing books, you know, it wasn't even possible, and they lived and they served God. And
that's why you can do that, but your knowledge of God will be limited. That's why there are so many things in the Bible that the Word of God wants to show us what is in God's Word. The treasures hidden there. Right? So without the Word of God, there are many things that we cannot see. Right? So we cannot go to the extreme. The extreme is through their experience. We don't need the Bible anymore. I know many Christians in China. They love the Lord, but there are so many things they don't know because they don't have the access to this book. And this book is given to us by God. This is the living Word of God. And so the enemy knew that this is a precious book. So they can burn the book, but they cannot dig out the Spirit in you. But nevertheless, they're very limited. I know because several years ago when I was in Germany, there was a group from Soviet Union, I think from Kazakhstan, somewhere around that area. They're all Germans. Then 30 some years ago, they were free to come back to Germany. So they came back to Paderborn. And when they came back to Paderborn, they had so much problems with their young people, they didn't know what to do anymore. Because when they were in Kazakhstan, there was no world, there's nothing there, so they loved the Lord. Now they're in Germany. Wow! They've got everything now. Cars, movies, the world. You can buy anything. You can have anything. All of a sudden, they didn't know what to do anymore. So, in a limited way, yes, you can go on without the Bible. But to really fully know the way of God, we need both. This is what the Word of God says here. Even in China, I know so many people who love the Lord, but they didn't have the Bible then. So now there's so much confusion. Why? Let me tell you why. Because although we are saved and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, our mind is still darkened. And we still have a lot of problem with the mind, and we still have a problem with our flesh. So there is so much fighting and so much opinion and different ways and different thoughts, and at the end there is really no oneness, and many groups didn't know what to do and how to go on. There is a big limitation. Yes, the Spirit is in us, and you can know God's leading, and don't do this, that's wrong, and don't do that, that's wrong. But God's purpose, His kingdom, what does God want? What is God's eternal purpose? How to build up the church properly? Right? There are visions here in this book that we need to know. So without this book, it's hard. It's hard. Right. So we still need this book. It's good to have it.
Amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Very precious book.
Amen.
Very precious book. You know, the enemy has two extremes. One is they burn it away and so that you don't have any more Bible.
You don't have any Bible. And so many Christians, they bury the Bible, or, you know, they secretly write down whatever is in their head, still remembers. Then on the other hand, the other extreme is not just the Bible, there are thousands and thousands of other books to supplement this Bible, and at the end, I don't understand this. And then you go to read this, read that, and read that, and read that, and then just poisoned your mind. So at the end, you're just listening to what man says. You don't listen to what God says. We must always come back to this book and eat it. Eat it. No book, no matter how good it seems, can replace this book. I don't care how famous the man is. I got the most famous man. The Lord Jesus. He's the most famous. He's the wisest. He's the living God Himself. To read other books, you don't need a spirit. Because it's man's interpretation. So read it, close it, I understand. But to read this one, you need the Holy Spirit. And this book is always new. Always fresh. And there is no end to the riches. You think you already know it, you read it again, oh, I didn't know it. And there's always something more. And the more you grow, the more the book grows with you. So this book is very unique because it is the living and abiding Word of God. No other book dares to say their book is the Word of God. It's just your understanding about the Word of God, son. This is what history tells us. We have 2,000 years of history behind us. Look at Martin Luther. Is he good? Not bad. But look at the Lutheran Church. Reading and reading and reading Martin Luther. What is that group now? What about the Brethren? You think the Brethren writings are bad? But hey, look at the Brethren denominations today. You look at Watchman Nee. Go to China and take a look at the old local churches. They're stuck there. And look at LSM today.
with all the writings. If you give me a choice, I'll get stuck with this book. I love this book. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, somebody told me, oh, that book is excellent, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Purpose Driven Life. Have you ever heard of that book? Huh? You know the guy who wrote that book? His son took his own life. No, you think, oh, so spiritual, so wonderful. Oh, good book, wonderful book. He didn't help his son. It's easy to write a book. But it's not easy to write this book. Because this, the author is God Himself. And you need God to read this book. You don't need God to read church history. You don't need God to read Darby's writing. You don't need the Holy Spirit to read. I don't care which book. But I assure you, you need the Holy Spirit to read this book. And you need a humble heart. Read this book. You don't need a humble heart to read Grant Darby. I don't know where else. Doesn't matter. But if you come to this book, you're proud. You're not going to get anything out of this book. Because God is not going to talk to you. God resists the proud. So you come to this book with a proud spirit, you can go home. And just go to bed. Might as well forget it. Because you are dealing with a living God.
Amen. Right. So, we need a Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
But we need a humble spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Other books will make you proud. This book will reduce you to ashes. That's why nobody likes to read it. By the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All those.
All those. Amen. 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 Oh, Lord Jesus.
We talked earlier about sharing of the word. I think back to what brought me here. I shared it with a couple of you. I'm a teacher at an international college, and Brother Freddie here was one of my students. And, you know, one night, everyone had left, and it was just me and him. So, you know, we began speaking. Sharing with me about the word, and he was sharing one of the. This could have been the only thing he said to me, but he really spoke to me. He said, "Without a pure heart, you won't see the kingdom of God." That just really hit my heart, and I remember thinking about that. And, you know, before you know, a couple of weeks before, I had been praying that I would meet other Christians and that I would meet other believers. That you know, I could finally find a place where I could worship the Lord, and, a living church, and the Lord really, really answered my prayer in such a wonderful way.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord Jesus. I'm thankful for Freddie's faithfulness.
Amen. which is really true. You know, one of the most important promises in the Bible is that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
If we are not pure, don't think you can see anything.
Right.
This time, when I was in Wisconsin, I was sharing the gospel with some college students and their parents. Because people says, hey, where is God, right? Show me God, and I will be. I said, the Bible never, ever try to prove that there is God, because it is not necessary for God to prove himself.
Yes.
You should ask yourself more this question, yes. Are you qualified to see God?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's not that there's no God. The question is, are you qualified to see him? I said, don't be offended. I said, don't you think just to see President Obama, you can just say, I want to see President Obama. Show me. If there is President Obama, ask Obama to call me. You think Obama is going to show himself to you? I said, you're joking. You're not qualified to see Obama.
Right.
And if you can't even see Obama, how are you going to see God? I said, people are proud. The Bible says the fool said in their heart that there is no God. But you can see God in so much of his creation, this wonderful world, this wonderful creation of God.
Amen.
Romans says, what could be known of God is already made manifested in your heart. That means your heart should already know that God exists. You won't know. In your own heart, even in our heart as Christians, many times, what should I do here? Is it right? You already know in your heart. In your heart, it's wrong. I shouldn't do it. Nobody has to tell you. You don't even have sometimes to read the Bible to see whether it's wrong or right. You already know in your heart. So if we are a person walking according to a good conscience, there are many things you know that you should know. That's not right. But we are insensitive at that time. We're not pure. We don't have a pure heart. So then we proceed to show them how can you really see God? And ultimately, God himself became a man in Christ Jesus to show himself to you. So how much more in the church life? Anyone and everyone who knows God will humble himself. Look at Paul. He was on high horse, he was sitting on high horse before he met the Lord. After he met the Lord, he became a different person. So to be faithful to God, you need to have an encounter with him.
That's right. Amen.
If you have no encounter with him, it's hard to be faithful. Go and learn what the Bible says. Knowledge helps up. But love builds up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.